Morning. So, it is very encouraging to begin this session with all of you. And I have deep appreciation for your willingness to step away from your usual daily activities, from your loved ones, and enter a few days of intimate silence together within the deeply unifying structure of a sesshin in our tradition. Such events are quite rare and radical in our culture, so we should definitely not take it for granted. And so now that the decision to participate is already in the rearview mirror, we are free to put aside all pondering, let go of all weighing the options, and raise a deliberate intention to fully give ourselves to this event. This means to embrace each moment, each activity, each encounter, with an undivided mind. During the next few days, you may experience some fatigue, some level of pain and discomfort. You may encounter inner resistance, emotional reactivities, and judgmental thoughts in reaction to something you see, something you experience, to the presence or in actions of fellow practitioners. These experiences and reactivities are all very common and natural for us. So there's no need to argue with the internal arguments or push against the inner resistance. To fully give ourselves to this sesshin and meet every moment with undivided mind means to put aside all parameters and develop heartfelt and inclusive attitude towards whatever we encounter, towards however we feel about it. This is not a matter of switching off or suppressing the internal chatter or reactivities. It doesn't work, and it's not necessary for the cultivation of practice. When meeting physical or mental challenges, we may think, I can't do this, or I should have stayed home. But instead of going along with such thoughts, we can remain open to new possibilities, be curious, and work with one moment at a time, one encounter at a time, one breath, and one continuous experience that never ends. We could use this opportunity, to cultivate a new level of trust in the unknown depth of our being. The immediate impulsive reactivities do not come from the unknown. Do not come from the new. They arise from the past. They arise from past reactivities, past emotions, past thoughts, karma. They have nothing to do with this moment, and they have nothing to do with the future. Which means this is, right now, a gateway to freedom, regardless of how trapped we may feel. So if you practice in such a way, you will realize that wholehearted embrace of each activity and each encounter is wholehearted embrace of who you truly are. This is non-dual. It is the action of merging and the manifestation of love in its most profound expression. It's a non-dual kind of love, which has no possessiveness and is naturally unconditional. The internal chatter and external noise often distract us from experiencing our non-dual presence and essence and perpetuate much of the fears and unease we experience. Our relationship with words and silence is often burdened by feelings of inadequacy and is dominated by our ego attachments. We may turn to words because we feel uncomfortable being with others in silence. Or we may choose to remain silent due to our poverty mind and our fear of being judged. Using words to boast our sense of self is also born of our poverty mind. And so during a sesshin, we turn towards silence as medicine. Medicine for our restless minds that give rise to our impulsive and emotion-driven usage of speech and silence. The silence we foster during sesshin is a very different kind that has, it does not have an opposite. It's not the kind of silence that has sound as its opposite. Again, it's a non-dual silence that can shed light on who we are. Master Linji said, "Students today can't get anywhere. What's troubling you? Lack of trust in yourself is what's troubling you. If you lack trust in yourself, you'll keep on tumbling along, following in confusion after all kinds of circumstances, and being taken by them without ever attaining freedom. Bring to rest the thoughts of the ceaselessly seeking mind, and you will not differ from the Buddha. Do you want to know the Buddha? He is none other than the one who sits here before me, listening to my words. When you lack trust in yourself, you run around seeking something outside. Even if, through your seeking, you may find something, that something would be nothing more than fancy description in written words. You would not gain the mind of a living Buddha. Make no mistake, worthy Zen practitioners. If you don't find it here and now, you will never find it anywhere." So judging an experience based on thoughts and feelings, we often reject the way life appears at that moment, seek an alternative reality, and follow after the mind's projections, as Linji says. How can we learn to trust the essence of our being if our attention drifts away and seeks elsewhere? By seeking, we reject who we are. By looking for an alternative experience, alternative version of reality, we turn away from our essence. To bring to rest, he says, the thoughts of the ceaselessly seeking mind. To bring to rest means to keep bringing the attention back to this body, to this place, and to this moment, and to truly appreciate without any reservations. As long as there are reservations, there is a gap. And this gap gives rise to doubts. Trust in the deeper sense of the world means that there is a recognition of being supported by life at any given situation, any given moment, fully supported. When is it not so? The ceaselessly seeking mind is in a state of sharping around, as it fluctuates between rejecting and accepting, which we experience as likes, dislikes, or indifferent. As if life comes with a menu to appease our picking and choosing. So Sishin will expose the restlessness of the seeking mind. And it will also help us quell this restlessness by not offering any menu or choices to pick from. Whatever is going on is what you will experience. Moment by moment, the schedule is set. You can't say, I don't want to do this, I'd rather do that. Well, you can say it, but it's not going to change much. Right? You show up in the dining room, you sit down. Whatever is going to appear in front of you is what you're going to eat. And it's what you're going to appreciate. Because what else would you appreciate at that moment, if not fancy descriptions written in words? To the restless, seeking mind, that seems it may feel like a trap. It may feel as if I don't get what I want, I am trapped. But as we settle into the schedule and allow it to support us through the next few days, we will discover the immense power of being in a state of choiceless awareness. This power will gradually quell the restless seeking mind, and you will experience the preciousness of just being. And Sishin can seem quite demanding in terms of the schedule, the strict guidelines, and the continuous practice of attention. We need to follow it well. But it doesn't mean we need to be uptight about it. So stay alert. Train your attention at all times. Remain silent, still. Follow the guidelines with deliberate intention. And cultivate ease while doing that. Fully alive, a sense of fully alive, infused with joy and appreciation. So Linji ends by saying, make no mistakes, worthy Zen practitioners. If you don't find it here and now, you will never find it anywhere. We are very well trained in rejecting. Very well trained. And often we don't see that, this moment, as an opportunity to truly encounter who we are. We may think later, I will. After I deepen my practice, after I do this or that, after I go to so many sesshins. How can it be like that? How can we not be who we are intrinsically? How can we become that later? Makes no sense. So that's one of the things we have to put aside. The notion of later I will become, later I will encounter freedom. No, you will not, he says. He says, if you can't find it now, how will you find it later? So we are easing into who we are, and we get to know ourselves in a very different way, in a way that has no later in it. A timeless way. And during Sesshin, we often talk about cultivating deep samadhi, deep level of samadhi. It's a very important part of our practice. It's also very important to recognize what leaks, will allow leakage in samadhi. We're cultivating this container together. In a way, we're all liable for one another, because once there is a leak in one part of that container, everything starts to leak from that tiny hole. So each one of us is carrying that burden, not burden, that responsibility. Buddha said, suppose there is a river flowing down from the mountains, going far, its current swift, carrying everything with it. And a person would open channels leading away from it on both sides, so that the current in the middle of the river would be dispersed, diffused, and dissipated. It wouldn't go far. Its current would not be swift, and it would not carry everything with it. This is a good analogy for how to be watchful on leakage, to examine. Because we're cultivating that power, that strength, that flow of energy, that level of samadhi. If your attention drifts like a channel away from a river, then some of the water is going to start to go in that direction. And the energy will dissipate. It will weaken. The resolve will weaken. And it's natural for us to do that. And it's okay. It's not wrong that we're doing it. We're doing it by habit. What's important is we become aware of it. Because if we're not, it will keep happening. Becoming aware of it, we can gently bring the attention back, gently reignite that determination again and again and again and again. So having habits doesn't mean anything in terms of the ability to do something different. Going along with habits does. So habits are not a problem. I should say it differently. Habits are teachers for us, because they teach us where we leak samadhi, where we start to follow different direction. So we should use it as teachers. So in the next few days, whatever is going on, whatever you experience, physically, emotionally, psychologically, work with it. See it as an integrated part of your practice, not a distraction, not an issue. Just part of practice. Welcome it to the practice. Use it well. Use it to nurture your practice, not to be an obstacle to it. And be attentive. The way you get up, the way you walk around, the way you sit down, the way you go through jihatsu. You may have thoughts, I don't like that. It's too much, it's not enough. But then, while those thoughts are there, keep in mind, there is somebody in front of you. There is somebody in front of you. And that person is waiting for you to do something so they can do it too. Right? We're working together. The person to your right, the person to your left. We're doing it together. So don't let those thoughts, emotions, or sensations take you away from being there to love other people. Because that's what they do to us. That's what we do to ourselves. We follow those thoughts, emotions, sensations at the expense of being there for others, loving others, offering care and support. So this moment, this sesshin is blank canvas. Come Sunday afternoon, be all kinds of scribbles on it, or not. That's up to you. It's up to us. The moments will crawl by. The days will flow like an arrow. Will be shot like an arrow. Blink of an eye. This will be in the rearview mirror. So use it well. To a point of not looking back and regretting that you didn't. It's up to us.